Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, really do. These are good folks. They're not just what some people call ambulance chasers. No, sir. These are real good people. Sam and Ash, both very good personal friends of mine. 702-820-1234 is the number, because you deserve what's right. Make sure you reach out to them if you need their help. Injury report today released again on Thursday, as it always is. Malik Collins was limited, as was Bryan Edwards. Bryan Edwards not expected to play on Sunday in Cleveland. Rodney Hudson missed practice again for the second day. Not injury related is the listing there. So just taking some veteran days off, as they often do this time of the season. Josh Jacobs limited in practice. Arden Key did not practice for the second day in a row with that foot injury. Back to full strength and full practice were Colton Miller, Trayvon Mullen, Carl Nassib, Keyshawn Nixon, and Sam Young, but all limited in practice. And then on the Browns side, Myles Garrett did not participate in practice again, so we'll see tomorrow on Friday what's up with Myles Garrett, but don't expect him not to play. I think he'll be there, and they'll just tape it up, shoot it up, and get out there and play, because Myles Garrett means a lot to the Cleveland Browns. You're back here, Scott Culbranson. Q has gone for the day. He has high school football, so it's me the rest of the way with you. And we're going to bring on a guest now, someone that you know well here. And if you read our website, which, of course, is kind of what started this all, silverandblacktoday.com, if you look at that, there's a piece up there about, of course, the Raiders' defensive struggles, right? We've been talking about it all week here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. But you know what? There's some good news, too. We're not just going to, you know, sit here and focus on the negative, because we can do that all day. You can go on Twitter and get that in heavy doses every minute of the day. On this show, we want to bring you both sides of it, right? So we bring in our contributing writer, Nicholas Cotherill from Silver and Black Today. And Nick, we look at this story that you did, some bright spots. I mean, people look at this defense, and yes, there's a lot of things not working, but there is some things working, right? It's not just me?
Yeah, you know, I mean, by and large, like you had said, the Raiders have struggles throughout their defense, but at the same time, they have key pieces who are playing good individually. It's just not shining to an extent of the Raiders' defense deserves necessarily the recognition that they're stopping teams, because quite frankly, they just haven't really been able to force opposing teams off the field.
Yeah, and I think public enemy number one in Raider Nation right now is that Raiders defensive line not getting the pass rush, struggling against the run at times, and just not putting up the numbers that people want to see or that the team needs to improve that defense. But one guy I think that has been pretty consistent and shown that he deserves more snaps, and you write about this, is Maurice Hurst. Talk about what Mo Hurst has done so far this year and why he deserves more snaps.
Yeah, it's very odd. It almost appears that Malik Collins is kind of like on a scholarship, so to speak, because he was the guy they brought in free agency to be the quote-unquote key of the defense, as John Gruden alluded to. But it's been Maurice Hurst who's really been the guy applying the majority of the pressure. But even with Maurice Hurst playing as good as he has, there's only been one game that he's played more than 50% of the defensive snaps. So it still feels like the coaching staff is trying to buy time and hope that Malik Collins is going to finally come through. But I have to say, I think time's running out, and it's kind of time to flip the script and move on with Maurice Hurst getting more reps.
Yeah, no doubt about it, including moving him outside, like you mentioned in your story, up on silverandblacktoday.com. If you go up there right now, it's the lead story at the top of the page from Nick. And Nick, one of the other guys, too, that we've talked about quite a bit on this show And we've had that banged up secondary, right? We saw Damon Arnette, who had a good start to his career. Yeah, he had some misses here and there and some big passes against him, especially that Carolina, that first game, his first game as a rookie. But when you look at that defensive backfield, Trayvon Mullen continues to develop, continues to impress. What is he doing? You said you think he could transform into a number one cornerback. Why do you think that, and what exactly has he done in his game that makes you believe it?
You know, even his growth from year one to year two has been pretty good. I mean, take a look at what he did to Mike Evans last week. He held him under 40 yards on two catches, and he's not going to be that corner who is consistently, you know, hauling in interceptions, but he's very sticky in coverage, and he's a guy who I would expect the Raiders put on the opposing team's number one wide receiver week in and week out, and they should feel pretty confident in doing so. He really has – he's kept it to a minimum in terms of the amount of plays he's been beat, and we know some of the deficiencies they've had from their safeties. Damon Arnette being hurt has hurt them, but on the other side of the field, Trayvon Mullen's been locked down.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned in here, I thought, which was key, which is the Raiders have gotten a lot of heat, deservedly so, for giving up these third and long plays. But when they have given them up, very rarely is it on Trayvon Mullen's side, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, that third and long last week where the Buccaneers converted with Leonard Fournette, I mean, that was towards the middle of the field. That was more so on the linebackers. But even before that play, it's the third and longs that the Raiders' defense continuously allows that, like I said, they just can't force teams off the field. But Trayvon Mullen has really done his part. And I think another big element to Trayvon Mullen's game that isn't really getting the credit is what he's done in the run defense, you know. The Raiders have seen a lot of run plays kind of towards the outsides to their cornerbacks, and Trayvon Mullen's really come up as like a willingness tackler to help in that regard.
Nick Cothrell, writer at silverandblacktoday.com, is our guest right now. We're talking about bright spots on the Raiders defense. Everybody's focused on the negative. We're bringing some light to you, bringing some good stories of guys who are doing the job. One of the guys, and we talked about it in the last segment, Nick, if you heard, that I've been really disappointed in, because I set myself up for failure here, because I was really pumped up when the Raiders signed Corey Littleton. He came in, top 10 linebacker. He was that sideline-to-sideline guy that we were excited. Then they signed Nick Kwiatkowski from away from the Bears. I was also excited about that. Not as excited, but Nick Kwiatkowski has shown his value. In fact, you wrote, Pro Football Focus has him as the 10th-ranked linebacker in the NFL and the highest-rated defensive player on the Raiders. What is he doing well? He's had the injury, he missed some games, but when he is in there, what is he doing that makes him so good?
You know, he's been kind of under the radar in terms of what he's done. Earlier in the season, he suffered a pec injury, and that kind of set him back a bit. But he's really achieved in when he's being dialed up one-on-one in coverage. He's only allowed 3 completions this season, and he's been targeted 14 times. And so his repertoire was he's a guy that's going to come in and wear the green dot, but most importantly, he's going to stop the run. Corey Littleton was supposed to be that guy that matches up with tight ends and running backs, but really Nick Kwiatkowski has been the linebacker who's done the best in coverage.
Yeah. No, he's done a great job, and I think you look at the performance of the defense, especially in the middle, very rarely do you see him beat on plays. He seems to always be around the ball. He's made a lot of tackles, and he continues to get better, in my view. Nick, when you look at this game coming up against the Cleveland Browns now and this defense and changes that we might see up front, is there any kind of rotation on the inside of that defensive line that you'd like to see, particularly if we talk about maybe moving Mo Hurst outside? What else would you like to see up on that line?
You know, it's interesting because, like you had said, that play last week where Maurice Hurst, you know, he rushes from the outside and ends up getting pressure on Tom Brady. And if that's something they're going to have to do in order to get Maurice Hurst on the field, I think you got to do it. I don't know if it's sustainable long term, but if the coaching staff is sold on Malik Collins and they're just going to continue to force him in that starting role, I think maybe you got to take a look at that and see what Maurice Hurst can do out there on the edge.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And then, yeah, and then you have to, I think they do need to figure out the linebacker position too. And I think that's really, we just praise Nick Kwiatkowski, but I think with Corey Littleton, as I said to Q earlier, they just have to let him do what he's good at. And I think they're often asking him to do things that aren't in his bailiwick. They're not there. They're not really his strength. So it should be interesting to see how they change it up in Cleveland. Nick Cothro's writer, silverandblacktoday.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter as well and check out his story up on the website where you can find all his information. Nick, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Thank you, Scott. Have a good evening.
All right, so there you go. So some good news. Don't say we don't provide you with uplifting, positive news, too, because we do. We're not overly negative here at Silver and Black Today. Some other people are. We're not. Other stations in town are that way. We're not that way. Okay, we're going out. We're going to get a call in. Fernando in San Jose. Fernando, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
A couple of things I want to see on Sunday. Number one, I want to see Aguilar, Ruggs, or even Gafford do some sort of a jet sweep or end around. Because I think they're fast enough to be able, and I think that he could beat the edge. And number two, I want to see Derek Carr finally win in the cold weather. because here's the thing. Who's the number one right now? Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Cold weather. Another team. Bills. Cold weather. So if we are going to make a deep run into the playoffs, we are going to have to go and play in the cold.
No doubt about it.
And then another thing is, when they win this game, and I say win, because I think they're going to win this game. It's a very winnable game. When they win this game, let us use this win as a springboard and start stacking up some wins. Because if you look at the upcoming schedule, there's really only one team that you could say, that's going to be trouble right there. And that's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody else in that schedule is a very winnable, game. So let's start let's win this game and let's start stacking up some wins.
Yeah, Fernando, great points. And I think appreciate the call, buddy. I think the point about using the wide receivers with some creativity on the end around, we've seen when Henry Ruggs has done it, I think the least amount of yards he's gotten on one of those when he's been called has been about 7 or 8 yards. So why not do it? I think it's a way we've been calling all week to get Ruggs involved. Doesn't necessarily mean he's got to go deep on a pass. He can do short passes. He can do quick hook routes. He can do the end arounds. He can do all that sort of stuff. So I agree with you there as well. They have the opportunity to do that. And then Derek Carr winning in the cold? Absolutely. You look at the top teams in the AFC, you're right. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, it's all going to be cold. So if you get into the playoffs as the number 7 seed, which is, I think, the most realistic possibility for this Raiders club, then you have to go play in the cold. You're not going to get a home game in the dome here in Las Vegas. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have to beat somebody in the cold weather. And I know Raider fans don't just want to get in the playoffs. You want to get in the playoffs and win a game. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do it in the cold weather. And Derek Carr can start to psychologically get ready for that by going into Cleveland and the 26-mile-an-hour winds, the 41 degrees, probably closer to 30 degrees with wind chill, and the rain on and off all day on Sunday. So he'll get a chance to do that. Okay, we're going to take our break here. When we come back, we'll roll on with the phones. Want to hear from you. What do you want to see the Raiders do in Cleveland? What do you want to see changes on that defense? What exactly is it that you want to see? 702-365-9200 is the number. You're with Scott Gilbranson here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Right, jump in the mosh pit with me, would you? Silver and Black Today here on this Thursday.
Yeah!
That away, Bobby. Get it going. All right, you're back here, Silver and Black today. Scott Gilbranson flying solo and ready to take your calls. I want to talk about the linebackers, too, though. By the way, 702-365-9200. The questions I've asked, your homework today, if you're going to call in, the questions I want you to ask is or answer are, what do the Raiders need to do this weekend to beat the Bill or Bills, Browns? Yeah, it's cold. It's by a lake. Same thing. The Browns, what do they have to do? What do you want to see from the Raiders this weekend? What's going to make you feel better about that defense? And what do you want to see from the offense as well? Derek Carr winning in the cold, number one for me. This might be the year that he does it. He's churning along on all cylinders. But we talked last segment with Nick Cothrell from silverandblacktoday.com. We were talking about linebackers. We talked about them throughout the show, actually. And I talked about how I was really disappointed with Corey Littleton. And if you look at Corey Littleton, again, he was a top 10 linebacker last year, Raider Nation. This is a guy who is the guy that they went out to get, the linebacker you need in today's NFL, the linebacker that covers sideline to sideline, the linebacker that will get you pass deflections, the linebacker who can stay with a Travis Kelce, the linebacker who can pick the ball off for you occasionally, right? That's what they wanted. That's why they gave him the cash to sign him. But so far, he's not been able to do that. He's been a negative in pass coverage. And that versatility that he showed with the Rams hasn't been there. He hasn't recorded a pass deflection or an interception this year. And he's not really great against the run to begin with. He wasn't terrible against the run, but he hasn't been very good at all as well. He's played every snap for this Raiders defense. And so it's not because he's had a lack of playing time. It's not because they haven't been able to use him. But I go back to, and I want you to tell me if you agree with me, at 702-365-9200. Do you agree with me that they're just, for whatever reason, inside the scheme, they're not utilizing him to his strengths? Now, I'm not saying that that's all on the coaching. I think, too, Corey Littleton hasn't, for whatever reason, hasn't found himself as a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's a great player. I still think he's a great player. But for whatever reason, and whatever soul-searching and one-on-one, heart-to-heart conversations that need to happen in that Raider organization with Corey Littleton, they just got to happen. He's just too good. You don't just lose your talent overnight because you change colors on your jersey. I mean, do you guys agree with me on that? I mean, I just think that it's not a situation where he lost it. He's a young guy. This is a guy that I saw play with the Rams on that defense who did amazing things, and he could do it with the Raiders. I just got to figure out, or they got to figure out, how he's able to find it and find it quick, because through six games, he hasn't. On the other side of that, you have Nick Kwiatkowski, who they signed from the Bears, who's done a great job. I had somebody call in the last few days and say they didn't think he did good. They want to get rid of him. I'm like, what? Are you not watching what I'm watching, apparently? And I'm not always right. But I watch all the film, and if a guy is not doing well, then I'll be sure to say it. You know, I don't want to slam people. I just call a spade, if you will. So we're going out back on the phone lines. Our good friend from down under listening again, Rossi in Australia. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Doing good.
Well, I just heard the question, so I've got a few things to say.
Great.
First and foremost, if you look at the analytics, and I know Gruden's not a big fan of it, but if you actually look at the analytics, pre-snap motion and jet sweeps are critical in today's NFL. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get rugs into a game, I agree, it's not just about a deep ball. It's not just about how fast you can run in a straight line. Get him the ball, let him make plays. But also, that being said, when we did draft him, and I know he was the first wide receiver off the board, we could have gone Judy, we could have gone CeeDee Lamb. I'm still happy with the Ruggs move. But we need to utilize his strengths in and around an offense that is built on a power run game. Yeah. And that really does start with those front five as well being healthy. So that's the offense side. Defense side, completely agree with you with Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
the press conference of introducing him, Gruden, Mayock, they started talking about Kelsey. They started talking about Hunter Henry. They mentioned Noah Fant. These are interdivisional tight ends that need to be covered. They're not your traditional just, you know, block and run the sweeps around that way. They are as versatile as any wide receiver. And Littleton was doing that job extremely well before we picked him up. Now we've just stuck him in a role that it's just alien to him. And we need to, again, maximize his strengths. Gronkowski is brilliant for me. He was underrated at the Bears. If you actually hear about Khalil Mack talking about it, he actually really misses him because there's a certain element that he actually brought to the Bears. I think that he's going to grow into being one of those lifetime Raiders that people talk about in Matt Millen and those types of guys.
Yeah.
The back end, Mullen, don't have a problem with it. Lawson, horrible. Joyner, horrible. Eric Harris, horrible. So to see Jeff Heath step into that Harris role, if Joyner's not going to play safety, I'm okay with that. Heath has made a couple of really good plays, including, I know everybody's having a go at Gruden for the kicking the field goal. We discussed that a couple of days ago, about three, you know, it was only 3.8%. Don't forget, it's the same guy that called the up man, Jeff Heath, to fake the punt to maintain the ball in the first half. Doesn't get enough credit for that.
Yeah.
And Malik Collins, couldn't agree with you more. Moving on. If there's a fire sale at the Patriots, which there is, Gilmore, go get him. I spoke about Howard yesterday, go get him. We talked about May yesterday, go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Go get somebody that improves this defense and play them to the reason why you're going to get them.
Well, Rossi,
sorry, man, I know I've been talking.
No, it's good stuff, man. It's a great, great call. Let me ask you this though, and I agree with everything you're saying. Going back to the first point about Ruggs, I think you look at Ruggs in college, and I wrote extensively about this prior to the draft. Ruggs, yes, he was the deep threat there too in Alabama, but a lot of his longer receptions were on shorter pass routes. So why not use him there as well? I know the Raiders tend to use tight ends on those routes, or a Hunter Renfro in the slot, but why not get the ball? Just get the ball in his hands in open space, whether it's the backfield or whether it's shorter routes. I think that would be a recipe for success. And then your point about possible trades, and we're going to talk to Vinny Bonsignor here at 40 after the hour about, he did a story on it. Gilmore, absolutely. If they're actually going to trade him, then you have to have the conversation, and I'm sure they would. But would you prioritize, if you could go make one move for a veteran, would you prioritize that defensive line or would you prioritize the back end?
I think that last year, so quickly on Ruggs, completely agree. Slant, get the ball in his hands. I don't want to hear about, you know, oh, he had five targets, you know, when four of them are long bombs where he's double covered and really DC's just throwing the ball away.
Right.
In regard to the trade, I would go and get Xavier Howard, ball hawk, intercept, because I think if you solidify coverage, that's where Crosby's work ethic comes in. Last year, we saw that last year with his sacks. You know, the Cincinnati game, the four sack game, that was more coverage sacks. It wasn't like he was going three steps, ball rush, smacking Andy Dalton. It was a case of going, there was coverage, the quarterback's got to move a little bit, and the containment caused a lot of Crosby sacks if you actually go back and watch.
Yeah.
So I think get that coverage sorted out, cut off half of the field with Howard. People are going to start to realize they can't throw at him. Let Mullen continue to develop. I'm fully happy with Mullen being the passenger CB2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would go, because I think that I still trust in Klee. I still trust in Crosby. Nazir, Maurice Hurst needs to play. I do think, you know, it's time to move on from Arden Key. Great freak athlete. just doesn't really necessarily have the skill set to really play that defensive end, that edge rusher that we actually want him. Yeah. But I think that if you stop the pass, it's going to allow the talent that we've got on that defensive line to actually take that step up.
Yep. No, I agree. I think you're right about that. Rossi, as always, great, great call. And yeah, a long call, but that's okay. I appreciate it. You know your football, and we know Raider Nation is international as well as national, and you know your stuff, Rossi, so thanks very much. Good call. Just a great call there. He knows his stuff. That's what I like about Raider Nation. I mean, 95% of you really know your football well. But like every group, there's 5% who, you know, just bring shame upon us. But other than that, it's all good. But he brings up good points there. I think yes, it's sort of the cart and the horse in the cart, right? Which is, you could say, well, geez, if we have more pass rush up front as the Raiders, then that would help the defensive backfield. And that's true. But sometimes if you're really beefed up and you're doing well in the defensive backfield, then guess what? It helps your offensive line because they do. They get coverage sacks. They're able to pressure the quarterback, get them some more. I think in some cases this year, that might not have helped. I've seen a lack of interior penetration a lot with the Raider defensive line, but that doesn't mean that it wouldn't help. Xavier Howard, that Rossi mentioned, we talked about him yesterday too. I like him. I just am concerned where he's at his age. He is a ball hawk. You know what you're getting there. But that knee was bad last year, and it would concern me for that, unless you're just, you know, renting a guy. But I think he's got a long-term contract. I'll have to check on that, but it's something we do. What do you guys think? What would you do? Would you do what Rossi said and go after defensive backs first if you were going to make a trade at next week's trade deadline on Tuesday? Or would you go defensive line and go up front, either find somebody who can play the edge or somebody who can play the interior like a Quinnen Williams? The good news, after we get past the next break here in a couple minutes, Vinny Bonsignor will join us. He's out at the Lodge tonight here in Las Vegas off of St. Rose Parkway in Henderson, right out near Raiders Way and the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, the Raiders headquarters. He's right out there, him and Lincoln Kennedy coming up next on In the Huddle. And I think he's giving away some limited edition Raiders programs because since there was no games this year, the only people who got programs were season ticket holders. So if you're interested in going out and seeing Vinny taking part of the show, have a adult beverage, maybe have some dinner, and have your chance to win one of those cool game programs, make sure you head out there and say hello to Vinny. Vinny's a great guy, too. Very personable. So if you're going to go out and hang out and watch Thursday Night Football, why not do it at the Lodge with Vinny and Lincoln tonight up on St. Rose? That'll be a good, fun time, so we'll do that. But when we come back, we're going to talk to him about that story, about possible trades, some kind of reaches, i.e. Stephon Gilmore, and then some more realistic trades, like we talked about Harrison Smith, Anthony Harris of Minnesota, both of Minnesota, and some other guys as well. We're going to take that break. When we come back, we'll dial up Vinny on the airwaves, and we'll talk trades, trade deadlines, and we'll take a couple of your calls if we can fit them in. 702-365-9200 is the number. This is Scott Branson on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Klaus Mein, the zoo. Amen. We are all living in a zoo, aren't we, Bobby? No? I love it. The Scorpions bringing us back in on this Thursday. Thanks to all of you for listening. Scott Gulbranson here on Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio. Imagine that. You guys have your own radio station. And like I said earlier in the week, being 500, people aren't too angry, and they're not exactly ecstatic. So it's like a muted sort of feeling in Raider Nation this week. But I'm starting to feel some excitement over the game coming up on Sunday in Cleveland. And we're going to go out now to the Lodge on St. Rose, right near the Raiders headquarters. Vinny Bonsignor, Lincoln Kennedy coming up in the huddle live from the Lodge. Giving away some programs, Vinny?
We are. We're giving away some historic, actually, you know, programs that were supposed to obviously go to fans that were at games this year over at Allegiant Stadium. That didn't happen. So these are have some collector's item element to these game programs that we're giving out to fans that join us here at the Lodge at St. Rose. Like you said, it's A.J. Cole punt away from where the practice where the Raiders practice over in Henderson, right across St. Rose Parkway. So excited to be here. Lincoln's out here with us, going to talk about the Raiders and the Browns and what the Raiders can do to get better defensively. I think that that's, you know, the sense that I get from you had just mentioned it, Scott, about being, you know, 3-3. I think there's, you know, satisfaction in that, given the schedule, but frustration because I think everyone can see it. If the Raiders' defense was better, this could be, you know, a 4-1 team, or at least, or excuse me, 4-2. To me, at the very least, there were some games that got away because they couldn't stop people consistently, and you know, so that frustration comes from: can the Raiders get a good enough, consistent enough defensive effort, time in, game in and game out, in order to give this offense a chance to do what it does best and score points and put a lot of pressure on opponents?
And Vinny, you know, the press conference today, there was a couple things that Paul Gunther said, and Q and I talked about it earlier on the show before he had to jet, which was, you heard Paul Gunther, and it's been consistent throughout, which is this idea of versatility. Guys can play inside, outside. My question to you, though, as somebody who's covered the league, knows more about it than I do, when you look at versatility, is that really the top quality that you want in a defensive lineman, or is he just speaking to kind of generalities? Because to me, you know, Q made the joke. He said, "Well, it's great if you're consistent and you're consistently good, but if you're not consistently good, what does it matter?"
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he was responding to a question. Obviously, you know, versatility can be a good thing. That means that you can, you know, be diversified and get a rotation going and take advantage of guys' strengths versus particular matchups. But I think first and foremost, he just wants guys that are going to produce,
right?
You know, at a high level, at the level that you know, reasonable expectations put some of these players at. And, you know, when Max Crosby is ranked as low as he is by Pro Football Focus, even as a pass rusher, in spite of his team leading, what, four sacks? There's more to playing football than, you know, getting four sacks, because he's just been invisible in a lot of ways in a lot of the other areas, aside from those four sacks, which look all good on the stat sheet. And, you know, you remember the celebrations and everything. I'm not going to discount the four sacks, but he's not delivering on a play-by-play basis. And I think he understands that, and he talks about that. So, yeah, it's great to be versatile, but I'd rather just have good players that do what they do really, really well. And if you want to move those guys around, great. But first and foremost, give me production.
Vinny Bonsignor, host of In the Huddle, of course, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal covering the Raiders. Him and his broadcast partner, Lincoln Kennedy, coming up next here at 4 o'clock, live from the Lodge out at St. Rose Parkway. And Vinny, one of the other ways the defense could get better is something you wrote about in the Las Vegas Review-Journal today, which was possible trades, and you threw out some names. I know we talked about a few of them yesterday, but I want to walk through some of these and really explore what could happen. And under the headline long shots, you have, of course, Stephon Gilmore, a guy I know a lot of Raider fans would like to see on that back end. And then, of course, J.J. Watt. If you think about the Raiders and what they need to do on defense to get better and get better fast, would you invest more and look for a defensive back to do that, or would you address the line issue?
Well, I think that the line issue first would be the first priority for me. But those guys, you know, they do not grow on trees. I think Geno Atkins is a guy that can definitely help just by the force he brings in the interior, and maybe having that kind of a player. It helps your exterior run, you know, pass rushers, but also the space that he takes up in the run game, occupying blockers, also frees up Corey Littleton and Nick Wachowski to clean it up and go get after it in the run game. So a guy like that, I think, is somebody that's a doable go-get. You know, Gilmore, you know, it's going to be salary, it's going to be draft picks. There's going to be a lot that goes into getting a player like that. Do I think he's available? Probably not, but I do think Bill Belichick can be convinced. He's always keeping an eye on the future and, you know, staying a step ahead of the posse. So that's a way that, you know, he could put his team in a better position down the road to be able to accumulate young, inexpensive talent. But if you're asking me what area should the Raiders prioritize, I would say defensive line. But, you know, even saying that, there's struggles at all three levels of the Raiders defense right now. So,
right.
You know, I think more than anything, guys like Corey Littleton, guys like Malik Collins, guys like Max Crosby, these guys need to play to the expectations. You know, and in Corey's case and Malik's case, they've done it before at a high level. If they could just get back to that level, things would look a whole lot different for this Raiders defense. But as it is, they are underperforming at alarming rates. I think I had Corey at, I think he's the 80th ranked linebacker right now, or somewhere in that world. And Malik Collins is ranked 106 as far as interior defensive linemen.
Wow.
You know, I hate to use the word unacceptable, but, you know, for the Raiders defense to get better, both of those players need to make significant improvements. And they're capable of doing it because they've shown that they can.
Well, and Vinny, I still call it the curious case of Corey Littleton, because I'll tell you, this was the guy I was most excited personally about watching and coming. I thought that signing for the Raiders was brilliant. You watched him and you covered him with the Rams. It's not like the guy lost his talent overnight. So is it a combination of how he's being used and then him just having a comfort level? So, I mean, you have to look at the player and say, okay, there's something there. But then is there also something with the way the Raiders are using him?
Well, probably all of the above. But, I, you know, the player that I saw Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was much more like the player that I saw in Los Angeles. Although, you know, he was a guy that would get, you know, 10, 12, 14 tackles in a game. He had, I think, 8 on Sunday against the Buccaneers. There were a couple of nice sequences for him in pass coverage, which is something that he really excels at. So what I saw Sunday was more like what I remember in Los Angeles. I think having Nick Kwiatkowski back also helps, you know, Corey a little bit, because it probably takes a little bit off of his plate in terms of what the Raiders need him to do during a game. So if Sunday was a little bit of a turn and pivot for Corey Littleton to becoming the player that we remember in Los Angeles, that's a huge thing. He just needs to build off of that.
Vinny Bonsignore is with us. He's coming up next with In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy at 4 o'clock. You can hear him and go see him down at the Lodge off St. Rose Parkway, just as he called it. A punt away from the Raiders facility. And a couple of the other names that you put out there, Vinny, as possibilities, because these are guys that are known to be on the market, Geno Atkins and Ryan Kerrigan up front. Do you worry? I mean, Geno Atkins, I think absolutely will probably be available, although I've thought that his performance has fallen off significantly. Would you still take a risk on him?
Well, I think also, for whatever reason, he just hasn't been used a lot, too. Mm-hmm. So I think that the production is also tied into how much time he's gotten out there. I mean, up until last year, he was a high-level defensive, you know, interior defender, and had a bunch of other years before that where he was doing the same exact thing. So I don't think that he's forgotten how to play from last year to this year. I think it's how he's being utilized in terms of the frequency. So I think if you give him consistent time, he's going to continue. He's going to produce like he normally does. And I think that, you know, a change of scenery, coming to a team that even at 3-3 is definitely squarely in the playoff hunt, you know, that has a way of charging up your batteries and getting you excited about things. And I just feel like, of all the guys that are out there, he's a guy that can have an immediate impact on the interior of the defense, and hopefully that would grow out toward you know, the exterior, guys like Max Crosby and Clee Farrell and everyone else that's, you know, in that rotation. Carl Nassib can benefit from it.
Well, I like the fact, too, that both he and Ryan Kerrigan, of course, who plays with the Washington football team, they both, in essence, you can walk away from their contracts at the end of the year. You don't have to guarantee them any money past what they're owed this year. And with Kerrigan particularly, I know he's kind of gotten – He's on the backside of his career, right? He's 33, 34. But he still is a guy that is really good at getting to the quarterback. What do you see in Ryan Kerrigan that would fit that Raider scheme?
But you just said it. And again, you know, you look at where the Raiders are in terms of not just sacks, seven is, you know, they got to do better than that, but also just in terms of pressures and quarterback hits, they go way too long, prolonged periods of time without making life difficult for the opposing quarterback. And you just can't have guys just sit back there and pick apart your defense. These guys are too good, these quarterbacks, especially the level of quarterbacks that the Raiders have played recently, and they're going to see some good ones down the road. You just can't. I mean, that's a dangerous way to live, and you're asking too much, you know, from the next two levels of your defense. You know, when you're talking about linebackers and your secondary trying to cover for prolonged periods of time against really good wide receivers and quarterbacks, it's not, you know, a sustainable type world. So Kerrigan at least can come in and not just with the sacks, but his pressure numbers are decent, and you know he's got his fair share of disruptive numbers. So, you know, if he can add something like that, along with guys like Max Crosby getting better, it can have a big impact.
It can. And before we let you go, Vinny, the one thing we started talking about today is Derek Carr in the cold weather. He's having such a great year. He already went to Kansas City and got rid of those demons. Could this be the opportunity for him to go and play cold weather? I mean, it's going to be 41 degrees at kickoff with 26-mile-an-hour winds and rain. You think this will be the chance for him to do that too and mark another one off his list?
I don't see why not, especially getting Trent Brown back and giving him an opportunity back there without Myles Garrett having a party in his face over and over again, which is very possible if Trent isn't able to play and you have to rely on Brandon Parker or Sam Young, who hasn't shown that he can stay on the field for a consistent period of time. But I do think also getting Trent Brown is going to help the run game, and they're probably going to have to do their fair share of running the ball in these kind of conditions that we're expecting in Cleveland. So, but to answer your questions, I don't see why not. Derek's in a good place mentally. He's in a good place with the talent that's around him. He's in a good place as far as his relationship with John Gruden and his understanding of this offense and the command of this offense. And he's got some playmakers around him as well. So I think all of that adds up to a guy that's going to be able to perform in any kind of environment.
Well, it's going to be great. Vinny, what do you got coming up on the show?
Well, we got Isaiah Johnson, the young Raiders cornerback, is going to join us at 4:15. And Lincoln Kennedy and I are going to obviously keep looking at this Raiders-Browns game on Sunday, and specifically how they can get better defensively, whether it's a scheme issue, whether it's moving guys around, whether it's blitzing more. What do they need to do to get into a world where, you know, it's not 30-some-odd points that they're giving up, but, you know, low 20s. At this point, low 20s, 21, 22 points a game, even if they could get to that point, is going to make a world of difference.
It will. That sounds exciting. Isaiah Johnson's a guy I really want to see them play more, so I'm interested to hear that interview. Vinny and Lincoln coming up next. Vinny, have a good one, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great show.
All right. Appreciate it. Okay. Vinny Bonsignore. Check him out at The Lodge over on St. Rose. That Isaiah Johnson interview coming up at 4:15. Don't miss that one. I'm telling you, that guy, we got to see what he has. I'm not saying he's going to work, but John Gruden called him the steal of the 2019 draft. So let's see him play some more and see what the kid's got. Give him the opportunity, right? That's right. Got to do it. Well, that's going to wrap up today's show. Just a reminder, tomorrow, too, we're going to be talking with Brad Ward. This is the All Cleveland podcast. We're going to talk to him specifically about the Browns, clearly, and we'll take your calls, too. Lots going on. We'll also get you the latest in injury reports from the Raiders. We'll get a final one tomorrow, give us a better indication if some of those guys are playing. Richie Incognito, I would not expect, of course. Brian Edwards, either. Although you never know. Sometimes they sneak up on you. But we'll check it out. But that'll be good. So we'll close out the week strong. I want to get you guys. We'll do our predictions. I think you'll be surprised by mine. You'll be definitely surprised by my game prediction. So make sure you listen. Yeah, it's called a tease in the biz, right? I want to thank my co-host Q Myers, who had to jet off a little early to do high school football. And of course, as always, Bobby Machado behind the board there doing everything, keeping the music. He's great, always. 3 weeks. 2 weeks?
30 seconds.
I know, but I know it's 30 seconds, but you're going to be with me for a while. I like Bobby. Bobby's my man. All right. For everybody here at Raider Nation Radio, In the Huddle coming up next, this has been Scott Gilbrandson and Silver and Black Today, brought to you by Sam and Ash. We will talk to you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Join Clark County Parks and Recreation.